Hello, grandkids. This could be a very interesting episode of OPA. It would be numbered 57.
Just like Heinz. I wonder if that's what they were intending there, Kevin. Do you think they were flash-forwarding to this episode?
Yes, Heinz ketchup in their 57 different varieties, all about OPA. They were like St. John the Baptist of OPA.
So do you think it was like they had 57 different they have 57 different kinds of ketchup, and like they just don't tell you which one you're getting? It could just be any of those 57 kinds.
Well, I think it's all the different I don't think it's 57 ketchups. I think that 57 includes their mustard,
sure,
which recently got a revamp. I don't know.
So it's more like 28 versus 29. There's like 28 different mustards and 29 ketchups.
I think pickles are involved too. So we might be going three-way here now.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yep.
I think I actually remember reading that it...
Because they have relish.
The 57 was just a number that the guy liked. And like it didn't actually... They never have produced 57...
Of anything.
Of anything, yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I did not know either way.
And that is very bizarre that they're still doing that. Like, just on this guy's whim, I guess, you know? It's like, wouldn't it be crazy if I put on this label that we made 57 varieties of ketchup? This is going to blow people's minds.
Yeah, well, it's just an interesting number to pick in general, because odd numbers are not picked all that often.
Mm-hmm. True.
And when they are, they tend to be on the fives. So it wasn't like he picked 55 or something with a zero at the end, which always seemed to be common numbers.
Yeah, you know, that's interesting, because I remember from my accounting days that one of the ways that people, I guess, investigators can, like, audit books to see if there's been, you know, shady stuff going on, is to just look at all of the digits that are stored in the database. And there should be that they find that most of them are on the lower end of the, you know, from 1 to 9 or 0 to 9.
Yeah.
There's more zeros, a lot more zeros than there are nines, for instance. And if they don't show that, then people may have been cooking the books. Because if you think about it, like if you just are adding numbers together, they end up usually being, you know, just over 10, or, you know, if you're counting things, like some of the things that you're counting, there's going to be just a few of them.
Right.
So, it is kind of weird to think about, but it's just like, that is how the distribution of numbers, when you're describing like things in the real world, that's just how it ends up working out.
Yeah. Nothing is all that neat. It's kind of like doing electric work for me. You could do the numbers all the time, but they get kind of ugly. But I have a habit of, you know, maybe cooking the books a little bit and making things a little more palatable for my senses.
Kevin, I don't know if you want to go on record and say that you're cooking the books. That's very bold of you. But
I don't think 1 watt or 2 watts is going to change a whole lot as far as a loading goes.
I mean, you almost sound like you're a scientist trying to publish in a major journal these days or something.
Oh, well, you've never seen Predator before?
No.
Oh, yeah. Well,
you are so un-American. How did you not see Predator?
Oh, for the record,
no.
Predator is
what
on the television
mean, no?
right now.
I've never seen it.
This is a very male-centric movie, I will say.
I mean, yeah. Isn't it a scary movie?
Oh,
Arnold Schwarzenegger classic.
An action suspense kind of thing, I guess.
Isn't there like a weird alien creature?
A predator.
Yeah, a predator hunting down a bunch of special forces. Gentlemen led by one Arnold Schwarzenegger known as Dutch.
Yeah, oh, there's the predator. And we're seeing him with his trophies here. He's come
Why
from...
Why is he wrapped in...
fishnet? I don't know, but it's kind of
it was a curious design. It's
very, very sexually confusing, I've got to say, for a young boy.
Wow. Talk about not wanting to admit things, Ken.
Oh, wait. Are we recording, Kevin? Wow. We can edit this all out, right? Oh, man. I just... yeah. All right.
Well, the ladies' corner has ended. I suppose we can get back to scientific journals cooking the books.
Was it something I said, Kevin?
Well, you were just making such a graceful segue. That,
oh, yes.
You know, we couldn't not go back to it.
Exactly. So there apparently are some who are saying that, the way that we've been doing science has not been actually working out as greatly as we like to think it has. Because I got to say, you know, I love, you know, some science nerds, because I guess I am one. And, you know, people like to really kind of brag or something, basically. It may be as compared to, like, they try to say that science is the best thing that there is, right?
Right.
Which, you know, there's got good reasons to think that. And mainly because it always leaves the room for things can be changed and revised later.
Well, and I think that was the interesting thing about this article that that you had linked. It was, what was it called? Oh, Science Isn't Broken.
Yes.
I was on 538.com. But to me, that was more the gist of the article, is that it's, and I guess it's not surprising, it's really hard to account for all of the variables.
Yes. And this article is kind of neat because they have a little simulator built into the article where you can kind of switch variables around and see what you want to, you know, consider when you're looking at the data that's there. And it ends up being that you can, by choosing what you want to look at or not consider, you know, it's something like, you know, you're trying to prove if Republicans or Democrats in office are better for the economy, right?
Right. Yeah, that is the task. That was what their example was.
Yes. And so by switching the variables around, in terms of what you're going to be measuring or what you're looking at, how do you define the economy being good? Is it GDP, stocks, jobs, or something else, I believe?
Right. And yeah. They said that there was like 1,800 different ways to configure their chart.
Using all the different options. Yeah,
using all the different options.
In different combinations, yeah.
And then I guess the other interesting point about that whole thing was that I guess I didn't realize that they had a system called a p-value.
Yes, which is, you know, a hilarious name.
Yeah.
And the other thing was p-hacking that sometimes people are accused of doing.
Right. So, I mean, this isn't even trying to change the data. This is trying to change, like, the concept of the data so that it meets this certain criteria that pretty much everyone does agree is broken.
Yeah.
And that some people already have a higher, like, have a different standard,
right,
than this p-value. But this p-value allows people... Because they had a listing of all these different journals that are known to use, like, intentionally cooked numbers, basically.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
And just this p-value thing has allowed some bad stuff to get out there.
Well, I think, you know, you're trying to have a low p-value, which basically means that I guess, is like how likely this might be just random chance that your results are just kind of random. Like they're not all, excuse me, like it's not all grouped on a line, basically.
Oh.
You know, right. It's like you got results here and there everywhere, but the average just ends up being where you want it to be, right?
Correct.
So a low p-value means that most of the dots are, you know, more of the dots are on your line, I guess. There's still some that are not, but you have a, you would be more surprised if it turned out not to be true, I guess, is kind of the way that you could think of it.
Right.
But that doesn't actually mean that it's true. I mean,
it could
weird
be
things
true.
Happens, you know, people are surprised by things all the time. It doesn't mean it's true. It just means, you know, it's looking like it's probably true.
Right.
So maybe there's should be a different way to go about deciding if studies are correct or...
Or at least they're trying to, you know, avoid most of, you know, as much a human error as they can.
The other piece, though, I think, is that people have been getting away with, I think it's been shown at least, shoddier work in certain areas in terms of, like, science papers.
Right.
And
well, and I think that's what happened is this p-value thing allowed shoddy work to get in there.
Yeah.
And if they enforced maybe a more strict standard, everything wouldn't, or a different standard really altogether, it would help out.
Yeah, I think the one chart that kind of jumps out at me about that is the retractions are on the rise, and they show how like the papers that have been retracted have just kind of skyrocketed there.
Yeah, but then even that was kind of a little overstated in a lot of ways because they said that it was still a very low percentage.
That's true.
Of the papers.
Don't forget to turn the light off in the basement in the bathroom.
Okay.
My God. I thought there was a man hiding in the tree outside. I thought that's why you came down. I was like, oh my God. That was scary.
Yeah.
The fake tree, or not the fake tree, and the dead tree stick that's outside.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that would be impressive.
Is that the predator that you can...
Yeah, he's...
That looks like wiggly water?
Yeah, he's got that miragey sort of look to him there.
Didn't we just see him in fishnet, though?
Right. Well, he can activate and deactivate his cloaking device.
Correct.
So... That,
yeah, he's kind of like a chameleon in some ways. He just kind of takes on the, looks at his surroundings. Yep.
Well,
is he trying to kill the predator?
Maybe.
I don't know. You're going to have to watch and find out if he kills the predator. We're not going to spoil it for you. I mean, the movie is not called Arnold. It's called Predator, so it makes you wonder. Is he going to get killed by the predator? Who's going to win here? Okay. Our listeners have been treated to a rare double ladies' corner here this evening.
Double ladies' corner. All predator talk all day long.
Yeah. Just a kind of live tweeting, live podcasting. Not really live if you're podcasting it, but you know what we're saying here. We're following along with Predator.
Right.
A movie that it was at one point, if you're listening to this, know that it was at one point broadcast live on television. But anyway, yeah, these studies, you're right, Kevin, because the number of retractions have been rising, but if you look, the pace of publishing has also been rising at the same rate, basically. So
right.
Some of the egregious examples that they gave in the article, though, were... kind of surprising. Like, I believe it was, yeah, the one paper was titled, "Get Me Off," all right, I'm just going to quote here, "Get Me Off Your Fucking Mailing List," and and the text of the paper was nothing more than those seven words repeated over and over again for 10 pages. So
Yeah, that...
That seems particularly heinous.
Yeah, there that needs would to be not a, have gotten through the stunt granny editor. I'm just throwing that out there.
I don't think that would have gotten through some spell checkers. That would have been like, okay, what is going on here? Seriously. Yeah, that's that is not good.
No,
for that journal.
Not in any way. Like that's like I said, that's just really bad. Like if somebody applied to Stunt Granny and that was their application, here, this is what I did in my latest wrestling article. Not accepted. Maybe latest review of a science article and 538. Yep, not cutting it.
So you are going to go on record and say that the people who come to stuntgranny.com are never going to find a 10-page article that is just repeating, get me off your fucking mailing list. You're going to go make that bold statement?
It is an extremely bold statement, but I am willing to make it.
Wow, you heard him, folks. Going to hold him to it. So yeah, but the other thing is that if you look at the whole picture, maybe this p hacking, like to be able to change variables, maybe it does make sense. I mean, like there's like studies that are done to compare like how different kinds of people, you know, different incomes are doing, maybe, or different people who are living in different conditions. And, like, you want to be able to factor out certain other considerations, maybe. Like, I know that a lot of, like, social studies or sociology studies, they'll, like, depending on what they're looking at, factor out, you know, income levels or factor out ethnicity, race, or, you know, when looking at different outcomes or different, you know, whatever it is that they're studying. Like they want to try to control for things. So there's going to have to, I think, be some kind of, you know, fiddling with the parameters. It's just, I guess, making sure people are actually like paying attention to this sort of thing and not letting it, slide through, as we mentioned, get me off your fucking mailing list. I wonder if it was by get me off your fucking mailing list.
That would be kind of interesting. They do not say who the author of that paper was.
No, I think that's really the only way to go. If someone out there was to do it again, that's what you have to do, I think. Like, you can't really have someone else's name on there. But, yeah, so science probably I still think the best thing going. Like, but, you know, when I read something like this, I kind of immediately think of... the debate people have over global warming and not wanting to believe the research that people have done about that. And, you know, it's hard for me to, as a kind of pro-science guy, I guess, but it does make you a little bit, I guess, like kind of see where people are coming from who have that point of view. But, you know, I still don't agree with them, but I guess a little bit makes me kind of think about what they might be thinking about, you know?
Right. Yeah, that is certainly one. But, I mean, that was kind of the interesting thing about this, too, this article, is that, and I feel like it's a point that we brought up early, is that a lot of this stuff is, you know, it comes up with one study, and then people also worry about the next study just contradicting it, essentially. But that's part of the thing, is that sometimes, even if they're not trying to have a bad study, like, or intentionally doing the hacking or anything like that, there are a lot of unintentional things kind of going back to the whole, you know, you take out some variables.
Yeah.
And maybe if you put in other variables in there, maybe that you come up with a different answer. So, like, a later study can come in and go, oh, well, this is what I feel like they did wrong. And they add their own variables, so that's why things change. And hopefully what ends up happening is you kind of gather more of an accurate picture of the situation rather, you know, it builds on each other rather than really destroying. Like, we shouldn't be looking at it as this made this answer wrong. Like, I mean, it helped to form that answer.
It's just like another data point, basically.
Right.
It's like maybe a submarine using sonar. Like, you send out a signal, you get a response back, but that's not like, you know, you still have to send out another signal to, like, check and see how things are, you know, that only gives you the picture for
that
one little, yeah, moment there. Or, like, you might say, like, in statistics and sports, you know, like, you want to see people's performance over a longer period of time, or, you know, people get into baseball stats because there's so much...
There are a lot of things to look at in baseball. When you have 162 games,
yeah,
there is a lot of data to look at and a lot of repetition. In football, not so much repetition.
That's another sport. Yeah, there's not as much. You know, there's only 16 games. I would say that's pretty close to 10 times as fewer games there. Kevin. Someone out there may want to fact check me, but it's about 16 games a season, I'd say.
Right. And Tommaso Brady was in the midst
did not realize his full name was Tommaso.
You know, I bring new stuff to the table every week.
Breaking news. Yes.
Breaking
this
news.
This is an exclusive to OPA.
Yep, exclusive to OPA. I talked to Heidi. She informed me that Tommaso is, in fact, his real first name.
So you guys have kept in touch over the years, you and Heidi Klum?
Yeah.
Or wait, is that what her name was?
Is it Giselle?
Giselle, I think. Oh, man. Don't call her Heidi. She hates that.
Oh, Heidi Klum was the one that was with Seal.
Yeah, that's right. She had America's... was that the top model? No, Next Top Model. Oh, she had Project Runway. She was the host on Project Runway too.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You're either in or you're out. For those who have seen that show, but that's not a sport, Kevin. Project Runway, no. Not a sport.
But
football, by and large, considered a sport.
Still a sport.
Yeah.
And Tom Brady is still a part of it.
Well, more so than ever, it seems like.
Well, he is not going to be missing a quarter of that season. If you're suspended four games in baseball, not really big deal.
No. This would be the equivalent of...
football?
I'm going to say this was the equivalent of about 40 games in baseball.
Yeah.
So, he was, of course, suspended for those four games by the judge, jury, and executioner... ish of the NFL, Roger Goodell.
Yeah, and you know what? I feel like we talked about this a long time ago. It would be interesting to see which episodes it were. It was several episodes that we talked about Deflategate.
Oh yeah, when it happened, I think we did it three in a row. But you know, you can't blame us, can you?
No.
And now we're back to the well again. Well, right. Bringing, in all fairness, new developments here. Tom Brady being found, the court siding with him in the disagreement he had with his employer.
And I guess, well, they're not his direct employer since, aren't the owners considered contractors?
I guess.
To the NFL?
It was probably dealing with the contract between the NFL Players Association and the league.
Right.
So that's why I think it was dealing with the NFL directly.
Gotcha.
But, I have to say, you know, as much as I have been gleeful about all of this, I feel like this maybe is the right thing here.
I don't even think it's maybe anymore. Like, that's one of those things that I can't believe. Like, I feel like the last time we talked about it, like, 11 of the 12 balls or 10 of the 12 balls were deflated, but now that And I even felt like when the Wells report came out, and we didn't really talk about that part in the proceedings.
Mm. See, we actually held back a little.
Yeah, we did. I can't believe it, actually.
Yeah.
But I guess I felt like I had read about that, that they had kind of confirmed that the balls hadn't been deflated or had been deflated. But now I'm reading these recent articles and it's just like, no, it was never the case. Like the report that came out that said the balls were deflated was a false report. So oh, it's wow. just like, okay. Well then they got nothing then.
Well, that is troubling, I would say.
It was basically just Tom Brady not cooperating is really the lone standing thing.
That, I mean, destroying your phone, maybe that's something he does. I don't know.
I think they said that he didn't do that.
Well, I think he did destroy his phone, but the thing is that, like, not cooperating with an investigation, basically any of the things that he was alleged to have done are not listed out in their agreement, and it's not something that he had an awareness of. Like, I guess basically there was no rule.
Oh yeah, that preventing said, either of those things from happening.
Yeah, and I think there was something. You know, well, I remember seeing that there was an equipment violation, which was like a fine of $5,520, I believe. For the first offense. So, and since technically it is the first offense, I mean, It is a little crazy to jump from that to a 4-game suspension.
Well, yeah, I that is the other thing, because I had started reading that too, I think, around the Wells report at the time that came out, was that, yeah, like, even if he did do that,
right,
like, other things, other similar incidents have been handled with very minimal fines, like maybe up to $10,000 or something like that.
Yeah.
And they fined the Patriots like $500,000 or something crazy. Like, the amount of stuff that they've thrown on the Patriots just is ridiculous when it comes down to it. So, yeah, Tom Brady has a right to be very happy about today's outcome, because it does seem to be the correct one.
Yeah, I was just going to look up this other article that had quoted some of the judge's ruling, because it was pretty brutal there towards old Roger Goodell. I think that, you know, this is vindicating a lot of his critics, who have been saying that he is, like,
Basically a dictator of sorts.
Yes.
At least for the league. And it does make sense. I was laughing that James Harrison's had a tweet that said, maybe I should have challenged or appealed some of my stuff to court.
Well, yeah. I think he probably should have. And, like, it is... I think maybe natural for some people, or like it used to be seen as kind of like, I don't know. Do you remember growing up and hearing about like people are suing too much and like, you know, it's people are complaining about all kinds of stupid things and like suing people that they shouldn't be suing. Does that ring a bell with you?
Oh, yeah, I do feel like I heard that.
That was in like the idea of like the lady from who got burnt by the coffee at McDonald's, and, you know, that was kind of there's actually a movie about her, and she really got, like, badly burnt by this coffee. Like, it really, like, messed up her, like, thighs, and, like, she had to have, like, skin grafts and things. So that's, like, the attitude that people have, is, like, you know, you shouldn't be, you know, people sue too much or whatever. But I think Tom Brady was on point here. I mean, I guess that's why people sue, you know, in an ideal world, is because there's been an injustice done. And James Harrison probably could have been successful, I think.
And he wasn't even suing, though, because, I mean, he wasn't looking for anything punitive, I don't think. I think he just wanted his... Well, and trust me, I would have been more than happy if he would have accepted a one-game suspension and missed that game against the Steelers.
Yeah.
I would have been perfectly okay with this. That would have been
okay with you, yeah.
He could have gotten the other three games off scot-free.
Yeah. By overplaying his hand, I think Goodell really screwed us Steelers fans.
Yeah, I mean, Goodell has it in for the Steelers fans as much as he has it in for the Patriots.
Right. Yeah, the Steelers fans, maybe this was a double switcheroo just to stick it to us. I don't know. Yeah, some of the comments, I mean, there were some pretty sarcastic remarks that the judge threw in there.
Oh, okay, because I did not read too many of his remarks in all the different literature that I read.
But yeah, he was kind of, at one point, making fun of him for, dispensing... industrial strength justice or something like that. because, you know, if you're not going to let people know what the rules are and what happens if you break the rules, you know, just from speaking as a parent, I guess, it works out a lot better if you let your kids know the rules and what's going to happen if they break them. And it certainly works that way for adults too, I think. Like, if there's a law, you need to know it, and you need to know what the penalty is. I think that's pretty pretty standard, really.
Yeah, it does not seem like it's stretching things too far, in my opinion.
No, not at all. So, yeah, as much as it pains me to say that I don't know.
Yeah,
I can see where... I kind of agree with Tom Brady on this one. Ugh.
Right. Yeah, see, I just can't as much as I dislike the Patriots, this has seemed like a loser for a while now.
Yeah,
honestly, because even before this, again, just to go back to even if the balls were deflated, like, I just remember when the Steelers came to training camp, and I think that was even before the Wells report came out, that they're like, it didn't matter. It, like, almost to a man... Not almost a man, to a man, like anyone that got asked the question, it's just like, no, the football pressure did not matter. It was an immaterial thing.
Well, yeah, it did not, it was not the deciding factor in that game.
Right. So, like, everyone's like, whatever, it wasn't that, like, okay, they did something wrong. But again, it goes back to kind of like the equipment thing, like, they did something wrong. But it really wasn't that big,
yeah,
at all. It's kind of like jaywalking.
Yeah, I think you pretty much summed it up perfectly there. So it's a shame that... I just wonder, would you be surprised if the NFL starts looking for a new owner at some point? Or a new...
commissioner?
Commissioner.
It'll be interesting to see what happens after this, I suppose. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. You know, if he keeps on doing this kind of stuff, then yeah, maybe. But maybe this'll teach him a lesson and, you know, he'll correct things and move forward. Just like in science, Ken. You can learn from your mistakes.
Well, I don't know.
And if Roger Goodell wants his job for a long time... And he makes a poop ton of money. So why would you not want this job for as long as you can?
He's been making them a lot of money, but you could argue that that hasn't been a lot to do with him. It's just been the popularity of the sport in general has been growing.
Yeah. Yeah. I do not think that he's responsible. Much like a lot of CEOs who... more than likely get overcompensated for their importance.
Yeah, you know, you mean like 30 times more than some of their employees? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see your point there.
You know, I would think that Goodell maybe could hand a few shekels out to some of the maybe video people or director. Well, directors probably get paid well.
Yeah.
Maybe just some of the cameramen, something like that. Anyway, to get off.
Yeah, I mean, some of the working class people, you know. Or maybe even people in other sports, you know, who aren't as popular as the NFL. You know, like all the bicycle gymnasts that are out there, for example.
Oh, you were going to that story. I thought you were going to stick football.
Oh. I'm sorry. Did you have more to say on that topic?
Well, there was the other amusing story of the day.
Right.
Because I said that, jokingly in a thread, someone asked for predictions for this upcoming NFL season. I was like, we're not going to go the whole season without a controversy, and some teams are going to win more than others. That was my pick. And honestly, that could be my pick every year, and I would be correct every year.
That's a bold prediction, Kevin.
It is very bold. I'm throwing it out there.
Well,
but one of the controversies could come.
Well, from all places, the Washington football team has stirred up trouble again.
yeah, these guys are just... they are outstanding as far as the fodder goes. They're such a joke. Because first off, beginning of the week, the coach of the Redskins for like all winter is saying that Robert Griffin III is going to be a starting quarterback. He's going to be a starting quarterback. He's going to be a starting quarterback. And then on Monday he goes, oh, by the way, Kirk Cousins is going to be our quarterback for this coming season.
Wow.
So he's getting a little flack for...
doing a 180 there?
Yeah, doing a 180. In some ways I can see, this is not like science. Sometimes this is more just mental issues. And you want somebody to have a good head as a quarterback going into the season.
Right.
And RG3 not going to have his head on straight now that he's gone from starter to not starter.
Yeah, especially having basically been preparing the entire offseason thinking you're going to be a starter to have the rug pulled out from under you at the last minute. I mean, the guy's been through some pretty bad situations here.
So, yeah, he's been through an interesting run in his 3-year NFL career.
You could look at it that way, yeah.
And he probably could benefit as much as anyone from getting out of his situation.
Yeah, and just to continue the general implosion in...
yeah, because that's it.
In DC football.
Yeah, the Redskins, again, they seem like they're going to be the controversy of the season. So I look forward to us talking about the Redskins even after this fine incident.
So there was a ESPN reporter who was criticized, I guess you could say, by the wife of the general manager for the Washington Redskins.
Yes.
And... apparently, the reporter's name is Diana Rossini, and the GM's wife is Jessica McLaughlin, and she tweeted that, let's see here, Diana, ESPN, please tell us how many BJs you had to give to get this story, and did they laugh at you before or after? ? That is bad enough, right? I mean, that is completely over the top, uncalled for, I would say.
Yeah, that is just a gem. Like, I'm not quite sure, because I also loved within the story that the Washington Redskins PR guy tried to play it off like it was a fake account.
Yes, like it was not the wife's real account.
It was not the wife's real account, even though she had directly talked to her son on Twitter.
That's right.
Oh, like, and I guess he's a bit of a disaster anyway, this PR guy, but I haven't really heard anything about him. Because I don't care about the Redskins.
Right. Now, there was a follow-up article where the author, I think, of this article, if you click through, he details, like, his conversation with this guy, and he has, like, his emails back and forth, and he's like, I'm trying to figure out, like, what you told these news outlets when you told them that this was a fake account. And then, like, within a few hours, there was an apology from her saying that, you know, it was her. So, like, what happened there? Like, who is lying to who? Like, did he just freelance make that up? It kind of seems that way. That's not a very good way to do your job, I don't think.
Yeah, he sounds a little bit like Baghdad Bob.
Yeah, that's true.
Who will always forever be in my memory banks is the PR guy that got it extremely wrong. Nope, everything's fine here in Iraq. Nobody is getting the shit bombed out of them.
Yeah, that seems to be his level of trustworthiness.
Which really is quite a feat. Not that the PR people are exactly straight ahead in the NFL, but
yes.
To get to that level is pretty interesting, in my opinion.
Yeah, so she apparently also made a comment on a different story, it looks like, where the wife of the GM made reference to her husband having this reporter as her new side chick, and she has good information, so, like, it's more believable because it's coming from her, which is confusing. So there's some drama of some kind going on, at least in somebody's mind.
Well, and that's the other thing to me that kind of goes glossed over in this whole situation. Like, she's accusing her husband of having this ESPN reporter as his side piece. Like,
right.
Do you not trust your husband that much that you're accusing him of having a side piece in public?
Right, and then, and not to him, but you're going after the alleged, I hate to say side piece, but yeah, the alleged, that's such a, but yeah, so this is a, this lady seems a little unhinged to me, I gotta say. This is not like rational behavior here.
Oh, man.
But it makes you wonder what's going on with the Redskins.
She is a gem of a person. Like, just doing it in public, it's just like, what are you doing? Like, what goes through your brain that makes you think that this is a good plan?
Yeah.
It just really is one of those things to me.
Maybe a bottle of white wine? I don't know. Something along those lines?
I guess.
That could have made it seem like a good idea at the time.
Oh, man.
But,
well,
you know what never seemed like a good idea to me at any time, Kevin?
What was that, Ken?
To ride my bicycle by standing on the seat and my hands in the air.
Like you just don't care?
Like I didn't care, yeah. No, that never seemed like a good idea to me, Kevin.
Yes, while I have done a fair number of things on a bike that have involved danger,
mm-hmm.
and probably bodily harm, which I mostly avoided actually doing it.
Well, I can remember, you know, trying to, you know, setting up some ramps and trying to, do jumps on my bike and, you know, probably pop wheelies.
Oh, popping wheelies. That was a big deal.
Yeah. At least try to do that, I'm sure.
Yeah. You would not try to pop a wheelie and then pedal your bike as a unicycle while you held onto the tire.
No.
That never came across your mind when you were popping a wheelie?
No, that's one of the many things that didn't cross my mind. But I actually saw it with my own eyes, and probably some of you have as well.
Yes, this is the OPA episode where we put everything we possibly can that we found on the internet that everybody is talking about into one show.
Yeah, we are caving into, we're selling out this week and just going for the big popular items, NFL starting, of course, next week. This video was quite impressive.
Yeah, Nicole Frybortova is a what exactly? Because bicycle gymnastics was just a little artistic cycling. Is what the sport seems to officially be called.
Artistic cycling. I like that.
And it really does combine to being a gymnast while you are on a bike.
Yeah, I don't know what the rules are in this sport exactly, but it didn't seem like at any point the bicycle, like, it doesn't seem like her feet touched the ground, and it doesn't seem like the bicycle fell over. Like, she was at least on one wheel at all times.
Right. I'm not shocked that you need to stay upright the whole time in some manner.
Right. I think that's true.
But even...
Again, we are not experts.
No, we are not artistic cycling experts. But I was just impressed with the first stunt.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Because she is in a gymnasium. And it doesn't look like... It looks like your standard issue, like high school gym.
Basketball court, yeah.
Exactly. On a basketball court, there's a table with judges. And she... And then the filmer is just behind them, presumably where the crowd is. And she's standing up just on the seat. And she does several laps around the gym.
Yeah.
So, I mean, she's only guiding the bike with, like, her balance.
While her feet are, you know, are on both just, on the bicycle seat, and she's standing on it, straight up in the air.
I try crazy. To do a lot more balancing workout stuff at the gym now, but I can't even begin to think about, of trying to do that level of balancing. I mean, that is beyond impressive.
Yeah, I agree. It's been a little crazy because just that is like, we're, like if the video starts out and she's just like pedaling around the auditorium, I'm like, okay, you know, I could probably do that. But then it quickly, it gets out of hand quickly, I guess is what I'm trying to say here. It takes the Anchorman absolutely. Approach to things.
Yeah, there was no trident involved, but things did jump up a notch.
Yeah,
quickly.
When she got on that seat, I was pretty amazed because I know the bicycles are supposed to be able to balance by themselves or whatever. Like if you roll one down a hill, I think we did a YouTube video about that at one point too.
Oh, you are correct.
But I've never seen that done before, or even imagined it could be done. But then things proceeded to get crazier.
Right, and then that's the crazy thing. Like, I couldn't think about doing the first one, and then it just gets even crazier. She turns the bike in kind of, as I alluded to earlier, she turns it into a unicycle. Has one leg up in the air, is pedaling with the other leg, and she's going backwards.
Yes. While pedaling with one leg and no hands.
Yeah, and no hands.
And one tire on the ground. Like, the back tire is on the ground. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, and this sounds like a sport, like, because they were saying in the one article that they were hoping... she has some Eastern European championships under her belt, but she's going for the world championship. So, I mean, she hasn't even won a world championship yet. So, like, what are these? I was kind of interested in what these, and I didn't look for it, of course. But I was kind of interested what these other people were doing.
That is a good question.
That she isn't world champion material yet. I'm like, holy shit snacks, son.
Well, some of the art coverage seemed to suggest that the judges were blown away by her set that she did. So okay. I don't know if maybe she's just starting out.
Well, she's been doing it since she was 7, the other article said.
Yes, and I think she's 21.
She's 21 now?
So that's 14 years. Two-thirds of her life has been spent practicing.
And she started competing in 07. So it's been 8 years that she's been in competition.
Well, maybe she's just, like, you know, stepped up her game. I don't know. It could be.
Yeah, so, I mean...
You hate to think steroids, but... I'll tell you what, though. You'd have to be strong to do some of the stuff that she does. Like,
well, she's got to be strong and flexible. Because, I mean, she's doing splits. Because that time that she's going no hands... That leg that's up in the air is helping to balance the steering column, or at least keep it steady.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
So that she can direct the bike as she pedals with her other leg. So I mean, her leg is kind of acting as the arm in that situation, and. Yeah, and she does look, when she comes off of this, off of the routine, she seems pretty exhausted, and I don't blame her.
Oh, shit, yeah. Because
the video is about 5 minutes long, and she is really doing something for at least 4 of the minutes. Like, and I guess that's the other thing that since we don't know the rules, like, I don't know how long a routine is supposed to be, but I would say that the actual routine itself was probably about 4 to 5 minutes.
Yeah, because there's a little before and after.
Right.
But she is, I can see why people called it a bicycle gymnast, because it does definitely remind me of a gymnast kind of exertion, I guess I would say.
Most definitely.
And being... One of the crazy things was to be able to hold on just to handlebars and hold herself in the air and then spin around on the handlebars while the bike was still balancing.
Because she kind of treated it like a pommel horse and kind of used the top to spin around on it. I was like, holy cow. So, yeah, I mean, she's got to hold up her own weight and keep it in motion.
So keep the bike balanced while you're spinning and moving in one. Yeah, you know, the bike has to keep moving in one direction. It's pretty amazing. And if you haven't, for some reason, seen this video, check it out.
Yeah, I think I will put this up because we've talked about some sad topics today. But this one is a plenty fun one.
Yeah, especially sad when we agreed with Tom Brady earlier.
Yeah, the only thing that would be worse than agreeing with Tom Brady would be agreeing with John Harbaugh.
Oh, yeah. The
Baltimore Ravens coach.
Yeah, you're right, I think.
Yeah.
That would be pretty rough.
My hate for Baltimore still runs deeper than the Patriots.
Yeah.
I highly dislike the Patriots. I think it's true hatred for Baltimore.
I gotcha. No, I think so. Like, John Harbaugh is just like, he just seems more of a little...
Yeah, well, and he tried to get the Patriots in trouble, too. And yeah. He was bitching and moaning. That was part of deflating.
Oh, yeah, and his comment about
the formation
the Patriots were in. I wish I remembered what it was, but he really sounded like an idiot. Go back and listen to our old episode. You'll find it there.
Well, since we're at the end of the show, we do get to say... that the beer of the show was Stunt Granny Brewing, Milkman's Son Oatmeal Milk Stout.
And was the beer that we talked about when we mentioned that I was bottling and not recording 2 weeks ago.
Yes. So, see, fans, it pays off. We take a week off. You get a beer review.
That's
if
right.
You come to the wedding, you get to try it, too.
That's right.
If you would so choose. And I had to look up in my little brewing book the statistics. 5.9% alcohol and 39 IBU. So there should have been a little hop flavor in there. And a little milk. You don't really take... Okay.
No, don't let me interrupt you.
A little bit of milk. I do like getting a little bit of thickness from the oatmeal. I think that helps, especially with the stout. To me, it should kind of have that milkshake kind of feeling in your mouth.
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about, Kevin. You perv.
Yeah, and I do think that the oatmeal helps with that. So I am fairly happy with how this turned out. I wanted it to be a little higher in the ABV department, but that's okay.
Because you're down with ABV.
Yes.
I know you.
As we mentioned earlier, also transferred tonight into the secondary Stunt Granny Brewing Born on Mars IPA, which is currently clocking in at a healthy 8.1% alcohol.
That one's going to be on the high end of the alcohol percentage.
Yeah.
Now, do you think you would recommend your visitors and guests to start out with that one at the wedding, or wait to the end of the evening on that one?
That one, it might not be a palate wrecker. I like the IPAs a little more. I got it to 68 IBU, so I kind of like the 70s, but that doesn't completely wreck your palate out.
Gotcha.
You could have it earlier in the evening. I wouldn't be so worried about the ABV as much as the palate possibly being ruined by all the hops.
Gotcha.
Because it's hard to take a step back if you get too much hops.
It's like brushing your teeth or something. It just changes the makeup of your mouth there too much.
Right. Exactly. Except you don't have that film on your mouth.
Well, a little bit maybe. But you know, I would say this might be my favorite of your brews that I've tried so far. Not to disparage your others, but this is a big thumbs up from me.
Excelente. Well, and I'm trying to think, you've had the pale, the black IPA, which have you not tried one?
I think I know I've tried those too.
Oh, you had the red ale, the initial red ale.
Yes.
Did you have the second red ale?
That I don't know. Might have to.
Well,
at some point, I'm sure I will have tried it. So I will have to do a little taste testing there. Well, I forgot Bill Paxton was in this movie. That's pretty funny.
Oh, Predator 2, yeah.
Yeah, we've gone from Predator to Predator 2, everybody, if you're keeping track at home. Well, Kevin, let's wrap this up so we can see what's going to happen next here.
Yep, for at DeFrango 11, at Gozer 33, the brand at Stunt Granny, including our new beer line, which will hit the shelves sometime eventually. Good night.
Night.